the order. We'll go 2188 first, then 2189, 2191, 2192, 2190. And we'll go back to the top while we're at it.
All right, do that one more time.
First up, we'll do what is on the list is number 9, case 2188. Next one, number 10, case 2189. The next one, number 12, case 2191. Then number 3, case 2182. And number 13, case 2192. Then we'll go back to the top and come down. All right, we'll call this meeting to order. My apologies, I did not plan for traffic.
I didn't either. I was like, oh, it's a little slower today.
So call this meeting to order. Please turn off or mute electronic devices. We have Ms. Frost, Dr. James, and Dr. Wright on the phone. Victoria, would you please do the roll call?
Yes. Dr. Byrne?
Here.
Ms. Krager?
Here.
Ms. Frost? Dr. Heinrich? Dr. James?
Here.
Mr. Logie?
Here.
Ms. Solomon?
Here.
Dr. Wright?
Here.
You have quorum.
Thank you. We will start off the initial investigative reviews. Case number 2188. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Yes, case 2188, the complainant is Donald and Sharon Boucher. The respondent is Mackenzie Kirk, DVM. On May 30th, 2020, Bandit, a 15-and-a-half-year-old male rat terrier, was presented to the respondent's premises for boarding until June 1st, 2020. On June 1st, 2020, camp staff noted a dog was lethargic, had not eaten, and did not want to get up to go outside. Respondent evaluated the dog and noted a lead hind animal. She requested staff obtain the dog's medical record from their regular veterinarian. That afternoon, the parents called and then arrived a short time later to pick up the dog. Respondent reevaluated the dog, but she noted that the dog's condition had progressed and he was almost completely paraplegic at that time. Complaints were made aware of the dog's condition and sedative radiographs were performed to assess the dog. Respondent's assessment was intervertebral disease and fibrocartilaginous embolism. She offered options of referral to a neurologist, transfer to the regular veterinarian, or medical management. Complaints declined and elected to humanely euthanize the dog. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
And we have the respondent and counsel. Do you want to address the board? Please state your name for the record.
Mackenzie Kurth, DVM.
Good morning. My name is Ashley Fitzwilliams. I'm her attorney.
Thank you. I'll give you up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Thank you. At the July 13th, 2021 investigative committee, the committee found no violation of the Arizona Practice Act. More importantly, they found that my staff and I did not intentionally cause injury to Bandit Boucher. They recommended that this complaint be dismissed, and I asked today that you adopt this recommendation and officially dismiss the complaint. My pack of information is about this incident has been provided to you. I'm not gonna repeat it, but the summary is that in June of last year, the Bouchers brought 16-year-old Bandit to our facility for boarding. I was told that he was acting strangely and wouldn't stand. His owners expressly and repeatedly forbade any kind of medical treatment while boarding. But given Bandit's behavior and age, I examined him immediately and at no charge. That morning, Bandit was not in severe pain or distress. I nonetheless tried to find out if he had anything in his medical records to explain what I was seeing. My staff reached out to his primary vet for records, but we didn't receive them before his owners arrived to pick him up. When the Bouchers arrived a few hours later and saw Bandit's condition, which had quickly progressed to paraplegia in the hind limbs, they were understandably very upset. I again examined Bandit and explained to the Bouchers what I was doing and seeing what the possible causes may have been. Because of my physical exam findings, including the presence of the deep pain response, I ultimately suggested that it could have been IBDD or FCE, as mentioned. I discussed that I felt it was very appropriate to try time and rest and medication to see if, if the problem improved. The Bouchers did not accept these explanations and then jumped to the conclusion that we had kicked or otherwise harmed Bandit. The Bouchers accepted neither my recommended treatment nor the offer to get a second opinion at their regular vet or a specialist facility. And when they insisted that humane euthanasia was the only solution they felt was right for Bandit, I of course supported them as I would for any family. The committee's main concern with this complaint was that I hadn't notified the owners about Bandit's condition sooner. Our vet facility had no vet client-patient relationship with the Bouchers, and this was the first time I had ever examined him. Bandit boarded with us from time to time, but nothing more. Ordinarily, I would have nothing to do with the boarding side of the facility, but obviously in this case, made an immediate exception. Bandit did not seem to be in an obvious pain or distress, and his vitals and physical exam were unremarkable at the time I examined him, so I didn't want to jump the gun and potentially worry or upset the owners if there was a no condition going on. I feel I did my due diligence to try and reach out to his regular vet before taking next steps. In retrospect, of course, an earlier call would have been better, but based on my experience and the exam at that time of Bandit, the condition was not serious. I truly did not expect him to progress that significantly. I'd like to just be clear on the record that at no time during his stay did my staff or I in any way ever harm Bandit, nor would we. And I would also like to stress that I have executed my right to provide rescue analgesia in circumstances that warrant it, and I would have for Bandit if at all I had felt it was necessary, regardless of owner instructions. I have never in my career or my life let an animal suffer needlessly, and I am profoundly hurt by the accusations against me. While I sympathize with the Boucher family over the loss of their beloved longtime friend, they ultimately made the decision to humanely euthanize him. Since that time, I feel they've gone out of their way to hold my facility and me in particular responsible for the unfortunate condition and the ultimate outcome. I hope that the Boucher family can find peace and healing moving forward, and I hope the conclusion of this board complaint will help relieve the anxiety and hurt that this has caused to myself and my staff. I ask that you follow the investigation committee's recommendation to dismiss this complaint. Thank you for your time.
Okay. And Dr. James, you are the lead.
So this is case 2188. And in review of the case, I mean, certainly this is a tough one because it's an older dog that has boarded for a short period of time, but certainly had a significant medical condition while boarding. And, in going back and looking at everything, I felt like what the clinic had provided was absolutely what was expected and even like this. I think, obviously we all go back and say contacting the owner sooner would have been appropriate and would have been what we would have liked to have had happen, but that's also with the information that the dog progressed so rapidly, which in the moment he wouldn't have known. And so, really in looking at this, I feel sorry for the owners. This is never the way that we would want one of our family members to go, and certainly not while they're out of town. But at the same time, I don't see anything that the clinic did to cause this, nor do I see any reason to believe that there was any kind of harm to the animal on behalf of the clinic. So I would make a motion that we support the investigative committee's findings of no violation of our practice act and rules.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss 2188. Is there any further discussion? I
I guess I would interject some notes that I put in here. I mean, I thought you could find a violation. Not showing respect with courteous verbal interchange by ignoring the instructions and not transferring care to the regular veterinarian, because that was said. They called them up, they said, yeah, bring it on right over. And they didn't. So that could have happened. Communication could have happened. I'm not going to push for it. I think also maybe a letter of concern or something that set off this detective's spidey senses or whatever. And maybe it was nothing, right? Maybe, you know, he's just been around the wrong kind of people all his life, and that, you know, rubs off. I don't know. He's not here to. So we can't see that or anything like that. So I'm just throwing that out there. I would lean toward a letter of concern.
I just don't feel like, from a letter of concern perspective, that we have enough information to support that. I mean, the other veterinarians keep saying they'll take on care doesn't mean it's the responsibility of the boarding facility to provide transport. That would actually go to the owner or to the emergency contact to be the one to make all those arrangements. And yes, the emergency contact hasn't been contacted, but that's because the owner showed up. And that was at the point that the progression of the disease had gotten to where it was. So I don't think they had any reason in the morning to believe that that was necessarily what needed to happen. And I think, you know, the owner choosing to board at a facility where they don't authorize any medical care, especially in a 15-year-old dog, puts them in a situation where something like this could happen. But that's not the responsibility of the veterinarian or the practice.
Well, yeah, that was my takeaway too. I mean, from the very beginning, the owner stated that they didn't want any kind of medical intervention, so.
They'll say, call first. They didn't say don't intervene, they said call first before you do it. And that's,
first thing words. Like I said, I'm what that means for an elderly dog.
Pushing them, obviously the only one, so I'm not gonna put, just throwing it out there for everybody to think about. Communications could have been better, which in 99% of the cases we hear, communications could be better. So, is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I agree that communication could have been better, but I don't think this rises to a violation of any sort.
Well, and then one more comment that I left out. There was a reference to the boarding facility as if that is a separate business. If it's not a separate business entity, it is part of the veterinary clinic. So they're in the boarding facility, they're in the veterinary hospital.
And any policies that would fall under that boarding facility would fall to the responsible veterinarian.
All right, any further discussion? Motion on the floor is to dismiss. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. 2188 is dismissed. Thank you for being here today. Next up is 2189. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Yes. Case 2189, the complainant is Sanford and Courtney Worth. The respondent is Kelsey Levitt, DVM. On February 5th, 2021, Kelsey, a 15-year-old male dachshundist, was presented to the respondent due to lethargy and anorexia for the past 3 days. Respondent examined the dog and noted a significant murmur, therefore recommended diagnostics. Radiographs revealed congestive heart failure. Respondent recommended starting the dog on pimobendan and consulting with a cardiologist. The dog was discharged later that day. Complainants fault respondents and communications were unprofessional. The dog's condition was not taken seriously, and the dog was discharged while having difficulty breathing. That evening, the dog was presented to an emergency facility where the dog was hospitalized and received oxygen therapy. The next day, the dog was discharged with multiple heart medications and referral to a cardiologist. And the committee concluded that possible violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board finds errors 32, 22, 32, 11, gross incompetence,
any professional misconduct or unreasonable lack of professional skill in the performance of professional practice. Respondent failed to intervene with events or prescribe a diuretic for the dog's cardiogenic pulmonary edema. And the motion was approved with a vote of 3-1, with Dr. Sitaway disagreeing, but he did agree that there was a violation of the Veterinary Practice Act, but felt that R311-5011 failure to provide professionally acceptable procedures was more appropriate.
And we have the respondent here, is that correct? Would you care to address the board? Please state your name for the record.
Kelsey Levitt, DDM.
And my name is Scott King. I'm the attorney for Dr. Levitt.
Thank you. You have 5 minutes to address the board.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, thank you for the opportunity to address you today. I respectfully submit that my treatment of Kingsley met the standard of care and that there was no gross incompetence. Dr. Lund examined Kingsley about 4.5 hours after I did and documented under history that Kingsley's cough and respiratory distress started after his office visit with me. Also, Dr. Lund's assistant, Ms. Shauna Sparks, charted that owner to thumb and they noticed increased effort breathing. Based on Dr. Lund's contemporaneous progress note and Ms. Sparks' chart entry, I did not fail to prescribe or administer a diuretic to Kingsley because his pulmonary edema resulting in coughing respiratory distress developed after leaving the Anfield Pet Hospital. Consequently, when we discharged Kingsley, he did not have an extremely significant fluid buildup in his lungs, nor was he in the beginning stages of cardiac arrest or completely unable to breathe. Dr. Lund charted that Kingsley had a normal respiratory pattern and effort with normal lung sounds without fluid crackles or wheezes. Dr. Lund also stated that Kingsley had a normal heart rate and rhythm and strong synchronous femoral pulses. A physical examination of Kingsley revealed a prominent heart murmur not present the month before and that Kingsley had normal lung sounds. I consider trauma to the heart as a possible cause of the new prominent heart murmur and ordered the appropriate x-rays and lab work to investigate the matter. I prescribed the proper medication, pimobendan, to treat Kingsley's CHF and recommended an echocardiogram. I documented that Kingsley's diagnosis was guarded, pending further evaluation of the heart murmur and highly recommended evaluation by a cardiologist. I consider this change in Kingsley's condition as a serious matter and apologize to the worst that they somehow got the impression that I felt otherwise. I respectfully ask the board to dismiss this case.
Thank you. We have no complaint then. And Dr. James, you're the lead again on this one.
So this case is another difficult one, but it's also an older dog that had a obviously very severe condition that was changing rapidly. And so sometimes these continuities are hard to know exactly how things progressed and how quickly. I think in this case, I mean, I'm certainly concerned about whether we did everything we should have regarding working up, you know, a potential heart condition, or whether we were more focused on the GI, and if it was more about the GI, then did we actually do the diagnostics we should have done there? So, I mean, I definitely have some questions about what happened, and so in 2189, I would make a motion to move this case to an informal.
Second.
Motion on the floor and a second to move 2189 to an informal. Is there any further discussion? I guess I would ask Dr. James, since you're making this motion, if the opportunity presented, would you also do the same thing for the second vet that saw this, Dr. Lund, because he did the same thing?
The case wasn't against Dr. Lund, though, was it?
No, I'm just, the circumstances are, she did exactly what he did. So, I just throwing that out there.
I'm not saying what.
I'm sorry, you've got the brunt of my devil's advocate twice.
See what happens when you're not here in person.
In this case that we're reviewing today, I would move to an informal. Maybe not,
but
the right thing.
Any other discussion?
All those in favor of moving 2189 to informal, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. 2189 will move to informal. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Next up, we have 2191. Lacey Madrid is the senator, please.
Yes, case 2191, the complainant is Dorothy Richardson. The respondent is Kathleen Pepe, DBM. On January 19, 2021, Missy, a 10-year-old intact female Doberman pincher, was presented to respondent due to belly pain. Pyometra was suspected. Respondent hospitalized the dog for IV fluids and radiographs. Blood work was declined. Later that afternoon, complainant and her daughter picked up the dog. Complainant's daughter stated that she walked into the respondent's treatment area and saw the dog's legs flayed out. The dog could not walk out of the premises without assistance. Respondent recommended taking the dog to an emergency facility. On January 21st, 2021, the dog was taken to Arrow Animal Hospital for evaluation and possible pyometra and inability to walk. Pyometra surgery was performed and the dog was transferred to an emergency facility for overnight monitoring. The following day, the dog returned to Arrow Animal Hospital and spinal radiographs revealed disc space narrowing and spondylosis. The dog was again transferred to an emergency facility that evening for care. The dog was monitored by the emergency facility overnight and returned to Arrow Animal Hospital. The dog continued to improve and was walking on her own. And the committee concluded that possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board to find ARS 3222-32 number 21 as it relates to R311-502-L4 and L5, which are medical record keeping issues. And that motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
There's no respondent, complainant to be present. Would you like to speak?
So, Mrs. Richardson has difficulty hearing, so we're going to sit her up here close to you guys, okay?
I think I could.
You can hear? Oh, okay. Great. Yeah, you guys can. I'm
going to wait. Thank you.
If she doesn't, I'll say something.
Okay.
Can you just quit?
Yeah,
sure.
Good morning. Would you please both state your names for the record, please?
My name is Dorothy Richardson. I'm the owner of Missy, 10-year-old Doberman that was, in my opinion, subjected to gross negligence by Dr. Petku by leaving.
Before we get started with the statement, would you both like 5 minutes?
Yes, please.
Okay. So we're going to start your clock right now.
Okay. I feel that.
Did you state your name for the record? Please state your name for the record.
Denise DiGiacomo.
Thank you.
This is my daughter. She was with me at the time we brought Missy into the veterinarian hospital because she was tender and we didn't know why. And she was uncomfortable. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And we left her in the office. He said, the doctor said that she would have this. What's it called?
Pyometra,
and she was dehydrated, so he recommended we leave her there and come back while he hydrated her. When we got back, she was laying on the floor, splayed out, and could not move. And he made no attempt to help us to get her out. We had to literally drag her out. And he kept saying, she's just lazy, she won't get up. I took her out to urinate. She came back, she laid on the floor, spread out like that. And we ended up outside the doctor's office on the sidewalk with this dog that couldn't move. And he ignored her. And my daughter kept going back in and asking him, what's wrong with the dog? She won't move. And he kept saying, she's just lazy, she's lazy. And he recommended we take her home. He helped after about half an hour, 45 minutes later, not longer, helped us get her in the car. We had a blanket, we had to put her on a blanket, move her into the car, and took her home. Next day, called up, asked him if he was ready to see her, and he said no. He had recommended at that time he was going to do surgery for her, and then later on he said, no, he was, he never said that. So I'm confused. We ended up, like I said, having to take her to Arrow, where they did surgery on her. She still could not walk. Had to take her to Blue Pearl Emergency for the evening. Total, I spent over $6,000 for this dog. I had to take her home and slept with her on the floor and tried to get her mobile again. It took 6 weeks to get her mobile again. So I don't understand why the board did not find him under the article of gross negligence of just leaving my dog laying on the floor and doing nothing for her. I can't wrap my mind around that. And he obviously misspoke when he said he was going to do the surgery. So I'm just confused about why you only found, the investigative board only found that he was negligent and record keeping. That's all I have to say. I'm confused.
Thank you. Thank you. Is your statement?
Sorry, it's very emotional for me. Yes, Missy was tender. So I called PetQ because he's my vet. I have had Missy's older sister and I have her younger brother. He says, I think she's got pyometra when we got in there and she's a little dehydrated. When we can't, he says, I'm gonna have her for 4 hours, rehydrate her, and then in a day or two, come back and I'll do the surgery. Well, when I came in, here's the table and she was right there, like sprawled out. And I said, what's the matter with the dog? And he says, she's just lazy. I go, it looks like you dropped her because it looks like she fell right off the table and landed. He says, she's just being lazy. She won't move. So I said, what are you going to do? He says, well, we'll just get her to the car, massage her legs later when you get her home, and she'll be all right. So we're trying to get her to move and we can't, and we got towels. And we're trying to get this dog out the door. And she's out front, and this one lady that was a customer of his said, let me pray for the dog, and the people were watching him. And he went to get her up once.
Well, we had to go in there and get him to come home.
Yes, I kept begging him, help, something's wrong with this dog. So when he did come out, he went to lift her like this, and she smacked on the concrete her nose, and she yelped really loud. And I said, what are you doing to the dog? You're hurting the dog. And he's like, she's just lazy. We had to pick her up at 4 o'clock. He closes at 5. 5:30, he finally put the dog in the car. Help put her in. And he said, call me tomorrow or the next day and I'll do the surgery. So I did. And PetQ always, I don't care what animal it is, he prescribes prednisone to every animal. Trust me. My neighbor, that's how I met him, through my neighbor, and every one of her animals is on it. I've had several dogs and cats with him, and everything's, he never ever suggested a blood work. He says it's just pyometra. So anyway, I called him up the next day. He says, I'm not doing that surgery, that dog's too old, you got to figure something out. I said, you said you would do the surgery. I said, she can't walk. So my mom's got one of these garden things that's metal with the wheels. And she lives in a trailer, and the ramp goes up. So we were putting Missy on the ramp, on the thing, and ramping her up the door, and then we take the towels and the blanket, whatever. Sorry, I have severe anxiety, and this is really mentally messed up my head.
and we'd lay her down, and then that's how we were getting her back and forth. Missy, to this day, does not walk right. Missy tries to get up, her legs will go out from under her. When she goes to try to go down the ramp, which took 6 weeks, she still has problems. Arrow Animal said when they did the surgery, the pyometra wasn't that bad. It really is, as PetQ said it was. And then they did the x-rays and everything. They gave her pain pills, I guess it would be, Arrow, to help ease the pain of her back. The dog never had problems with her back. She would run the fence because the dog behind my mom was barking, and Missy was always running the fence before. Missy can't do that now. And Missy was never like that till he brought her in. And if you would have seen, I'm sorry I didn't take the pictures, but here's the table. It looked like he went to lift her and dropped her because she was out like this.
Okay. I have to get up and walk. I'm sorry. I have to change.
Is she, excuse me, does she have any chest pains?
Yeah. Should we call the ambulance? You all right?
No. This is too emotional for me.
Sit down. Just sit down.
Okay, so I think we got the picture. Are you done with the statement, or you want to wrap it up?
No, I think I said everything that I have to, but he, like I said, the last hearing, he lied through his eye teeth about what was done and what was said. Because I know for a fact what happened. I was there. And he was my vet, and he is no longer my vet. And it looks like he dropped her, literally dropped her. If you took an animal off the table and it dropped, you would know that it was dropped.
Thank you. Dr. Wright, you are the lead.
No, go
ahead. Yes, I am, thank you. Thanks for your testimony. Going through and reading all this, it sounds like there's a lot of communication issues. The expectations, is there a meeting of mind? What's going on here? But we're getting two totally different stories. I mean, the veterinarian thing and their record and in the response that I never said I would do surgery. I think the dog needs to be transferred to another facility. And the client saying that surgery was said to be done at the hospital itself. Based on the record, it looks like referrals were made, which is appropriate in this case. Looks like the hospital is very busy, and I can understand. Unfortunately, in this day and age, most hospitals can't take on emergency surgery. It's just not possible. We're all booked. And it seems like that's what's going on here at this facility also. So I understand the frustration, I understand the criticalness, and I sympathize and empathize for that, but it sounds like a referral was made, and that's the best option that we have, and that's the legal statute, our standard, that if we think care can be elevated elsewhere, we need to make that referral. So I think that Dr. Pecchio is within the realm of the law in regard to that. Looking through the records themselves, I do agree with the committee partially. The records could be a little bit better. Looking at the tentative diagnoses and definitive diagnoses, going through, I am actually seeing a little of this here. It's difficult to read it in the actual medical records themselves. When you look at the transcripts, it does show in there the thought process of the diagnostic list. The custody or relapse, other systemic infection, pyometra, neoplasia, metabolic. The blood work that was run is not fully fitting with a full-on infection that you tend to see with pyometra. But, it is on the list. Looking at everything here, it looks like the thought process and follow-through is actually there. I don't know what anybody else thought is on there, but I am hard-pressed to say that there's a failure to document the medical records, the tentative or symptom diagnoses, what I'm seeing, rule out this, and actually rule out this carried through even with x-rays. So I'm not seeing an issue with that. I don't know where the investigative community is honestly coming in there. I do agree that the abnormalities that were listed were not really expounded on. You can see in here, we have abnormalities of abnormal general appearance, and all these things in here digested abnormal. It doesn't really say why, what is the abnormality that we're seeing there. So that's the only issue I really have is we're not expounding on what was actually seen in the physical exam. And I'd love for some other input on kind of what your thoughts are. Is that actually a violation? Is that a letter of concern? Or what do you guys think?
I guess I was leaning toward a letter of concern.
That's kind of more my thought here. It's an unfortunate situation. I think there's again, a lot of communications issues. I think there was unfortunately expectations that the doctor just couldn't meet due to schedule, due to commitments there. It's nice. I missed the day where I could take these kinds of surgeries straight into surgery and fix them and send them home. I truly miss those days of veterinary medicine, but we're kind of out of those days, unfortunately, now. If in these emergency situations, most of the time, all we can do is refer them out for emergency. That's really, really a sad state of affairs right now, but it is not the fault of the veterinarian. So I'll make a motion to issue a letter of concern in regards to the medical records and recommending, or I guess with regards to medical records, leave it at that.
I second that.
We have a motion on the floor and a second to issue a letter of concern on the medical records. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, could I ask our attorney and Tracy, I believe it's possible that this veterinarian has past violations for medical record violation.
He's had a letter of concern for medical record keeping in 2013.
I'm sorry, I missed the date on that, Tracy.
In 2013, Dr. Petkew had a letter of concern issued for medical record keeping.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Wright, I don't know how we lined this up to do three in a row, but now it's your turn for me. I truly did not plan it this way. So, we've got two conflicting stories, right? They cannot possibly both be true, and it's just perception from one side or the other side on all of it. Now, some of it, yes, maybe just perception, but some of it, it happened one way, and the other party saying it happened the other, another, a different way. So it can't be both. And the dog on the floor, and we got one description where it's splayed out, which I picture as an unnatural position. And then we got the veterinarian describing it as laying on one side, getting an IV, and every half an hour or 45 minutes, they're flipping it over to the other side while they're treating it. And they never put it on the table. It was always on the floor.
You want them to call an ambulance?
So,
can you guys call an ambulance to check on her?
Yeah, that's the rest. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
It's got her really stressed out.
Have to listen to this, I guess, if it's heard it.
Mr. Chairman, just to add, I have had a pet that splayed similarly. It wasn't dropped, it didn't fall, and had a seizure. And so there are other things that can cause that splaying besides a drop. There's nothing. We are not certain that anything like that occurred, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, and according to the... one party says it happened in the vet clinic. The veterinarian says it came in like that and it was laying on the lobby floor when we first saw it. So, if we're really curious, maybe we'd go to the next level for an informal. And maybe that ends up being a letter of concern. I don't know. Throwing it out there. So I played my devil's advocate with you, Dr. Ray.
I'm good with the letter.
Any other discussion?
I think we're going to investigate a lot more. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of he said, she said, based on the record, yeah, because the record could be a little better, but I'm not seeing where things went wrong or what violation action could be personally, so I don't even know what I need to investigate at that point. I think this is an unfortunate situation.
All right, any other discussion? Motion on the floor is to dismiss case 2191 and issue a letter of concern. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Nay.
That motion passes. One nay. Thank you for being here today. Next up, we go back to 2181 or 2182. See if we can find something quick and easy. How about, I don't know what it's called, quick and easy or not. Number three, section five, number three, 2083 in regards to Hugo Sandoval's DDM, board may review, discuss, take action on completion of continuing education as required by board order, to make return license to active status.
All right, so I looked through, and again, I'm not the vet, but it looked like he had completed everything. I even appreciated his little synopsis of each one, shows that, you know, he was paying attention and has learned something, I think. So for what it's worth, I liked that. So unless anyone else has any other comments, I'd make a motion that we return Dr. Hugo Santabavez's license to active status.
Second.
The motion on the floor is second, returns license to active status. Any discussion? I guess I would note, I'm not going to make a big deal about it or suggest making any changes, but one of those units with CEs was not internal medicine.
Pardon?
Dermatitis is not internal medicine. I mean, veterinarians, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's your skin.
Yeah, but your skin is an organ. I mean, is that not?
Not an internal organ. So
yeah, but it's still...
He got his 8 hours. Let's be happy with it.
I know.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm happy with it. Just for the record, point out, one of them was not technically internal medicine. Motion on the floor is to accept. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
The motion passes. Let's do one more. Number four, 2104, in regards to Bernard Cohen, DVM. Board may review, discuss, take action on continuing education plan submitted in compliance with board order.
I mean, I read it. I'm never quite comfortable making the motions on these since I'm not a vet, but so.
I think it fell in line before we asked for
right.
It.
Right. Okay.
And it was more.
Yeah. Okay, well, unless any of the vets disagree, I make a motion that we accept Dr. Cohen's CE plan.
Second.
Motion on the floor and a second to accept Dr. Cohen's plan. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Let's go down, rolling down here. Board may review, discuss, take action on veterinary license applications. And the first one is Jessica Braun with Kansas Board.
Yes. okay, so this was back in 2017, she and several vets were doing some like volunteer and low-cost baby neuter clinics, and they just didn't have the most adequate records, but beyond that, it was nothing really egregious. So I didn't particularly see any issues, so I would make a motion to approve her application.
Second. Motion for a second to approve her application. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. Next up is Elizabeth Plants.
Okay, so yeah, this is a DUI from the
Yeah, go break.
Thank you.
We'll adjourn.
It's okay.